This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great day when we look forward to the presidential debates 2 days from now. And in the height of this bitter, angry, very consequential campaign, isn't it amazing that even on this issue of presidential debates, they can't agree about rules? President Trump protesting the rule changes that have been announced, protesting the topics that have been announced. We'll hear moments from now from Kayleigh McEnany, the White House press secretary, who believes that the National Debate Commission is profoundly biased. We will get to those charges. President Trump has said he's coming anyway. And, of course, he has to come because right now, according to all the polling, he is running behind at the moment. And this is a great chance for him to gain ground. People expect a huge audience. The debate is taking place Thursday night in Nashville, Tennessee. The moderator is Kristen Welker. And what's interesting is that no one has attacked her on either side so far for being biased, though she is a Philadelphian. And Jill Biden is a Philadelphian. She's from, I believe, Willow Grove, which is a suburb of Philadelphia. And does that create a presumed bias toward Joe Biden? Probably not. Kristen Welker with NBC moderating this debate. The question has to do with muting microphones, and it has to do with topics. The Wall Street Journal covered the story this morning, and it's an important story because this is one of the last chances for the candidates to refocus the campaign. Actually, right now, the campaign is focused a great deal on coronavirus. Why? Well, because that's what is impacting people's lives, and that's what Joe Biden wants to focus on. President Trump should be focused on the economy. Everybody on the Trump side of things, including people in his campaign, say so. But the president seems unable to help himself, either in conversations with his campaign staff and with representatives around the country, or speaking to rallies. He jumps into the coronavirus issue and couldn't resist attacking Dr. Fauci. Good political idea? We will get to that on the Medved Show. Here's the story from the Wall Street Journal this morning. The Nonpartisan Commission on Presidential Debates yesterday announced a plan for the debate, which will be divided into six segments, each with a different topic. President Trump and Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden will be silenced while their opponent gives a two-minute opening statement at the start of each 15-minute segment. During the rest of the discussion in each block, in other words, they'll have 10 minutes for additional discussion after their two-minute opening responses, the microphones will be open, so they'll be able to talk back and forth. Look, the way that I understand this, and I've tried to get a straight answer, they're not talking here about Kristen Welker or somebody in a control room for NBC or anyone else actually pushing a button and muting the microphone, saying, uh-oh, well, Trump is going there, we don't want to hear from him, and then turning him off. It's just that Biden will have 2 minutes to respond, Trump will have 2 minutes to respond. When President Trump is responding, Joe Biden's microphone will be off for 2 minutes. When Biden is responding, Trump's microphone will be off. It seems to me that's actually a good addition. And there are a bunch of people on the Trump side of things, including a lot of his top campaign staff and apparently the chief of staff, Mark Meadows, to believe that that will actually work to President Trump's advantage, because they believe that Joe Biden is so incapable of stringing together 2 minutes of coherent content that to allow him to speak without interruption for 2 minutes could be very harmful to Biden, not helpful to him. We will see about that on Thursday night. The debate in Nashville, Tennessee will be the final meeting of the two candidates before Election Day. It'll be moderated by NBC's Kristen Welker. It was expected to be the third debate, of course, but the second debate scheduled for October 15th was canceled when Mr. Trump refused to agree to a virtual debate after he contracted COVID-19. The Trump campaign manager, Bill Stepien, said that Mr. Trump is committed to debating Joe Biden regardless of last-minute rule changes from the biased commission. In a letter to the commission yesterday, Mr. Stepien criticized possible rule changes, including silencing microphones, saying it is, quote, a completely unacceptable action for anyone to wield such power. Well, again, we're not talking about them deciding to cut somebody off in mid-sentence. It's basically saying, okay, 2 minutes. And then after those 2 minutes, your microphone's open. You're just supposed to be quiet while the other guy's speaking. He also complained earlier in the day that the debate was supposed to have a foreign policy focus and asked for a change in topics. The commission said that wasn't the case. Biden campaign spokesman T.J. Ducklow said the campaign and the commission agreed months ago that the debate moderator would choose the topics, adding that the president didn't want to face more questions about his disastrous COVID responses. Okay, what are the topics that were announced? Because everybody's talking about these topics and how inappropriate they are. The topics, and they're supposed to be in no particular order. It is not known what order Kristen Welker will go to these topics. And by the way, I think it's a much better thing that they have one moderator for these debates rather than a panel of different moderators asking different questions. The topics that Kristen Welker has chosen are fighting COVID-19, American families, race in America, climate change, national security, and leadership. Now, it seems to me when you're talking about national security, that is foreign policy. Because obviously, I think most people believe that the greatest threats to national security are, in fact, from abroad, from nations like China and Russia, and from international terrorism. So when you're there under national security, and also when you're there under leadership, if President Trump wants to bring up some of his unquestioned successes in foreign policy, like the recent deals between Israel and the United Arab Emirates and Israel and Bahrain, and a pending deal, it looks like, between Israel and Sudan, which would be a great thing, he can bring that up under leadership, indicating that he showed the kind of leadership that other presidents haven't shown when he moved the embassy to Jerusalem, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm sure he is prepared to do that. The Trump campaign is saying he is not preparing formally for this debate, but a number of campaign spokespeople have said off the record that the president now agrees with their approach and is not going to try to interrupt Joe Biden. One of the things that I was thinking about, it's entirely possible, because when a microphone's not on, okay, a microphone's not on, President Trump could still interrupt Joe Biden, just shouting across that 12 feet that's separating them. We're going to walk over to his mic. I don't think he'll do that. But I think it's entirely possible that if Joe Biden says something that offends President Trump as greatly inappropriate, he just might shout back at him. But it is going to be an interesting and important debate. President Trump expressed confidence about his chances on a conference call with campaign aides that included reporters. In that call, he renewed his angry criticism of Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's top infectious disease expert. Why? And what about going after the Biden tax plan, which is a profound vulnerability for Vice President Biden? We'll be speaking with Lan He Chen about that coming up, and much more on The Medved Show.
more of Michael Medved in a moment.
As you know, our politicians and the media will never mention one of the biggest challenges facing the health and well-being of every American, the explosion of junk science in our country. That's why I'm so grateful for the American Council on Science and Health, a 501c3 nonprofit whose mission is to separate fact from fiction and health scares from legitimate health threats. You've probably heard all sorts of junk science about red meat causing cancer or climate change destroying all life on Earth. Thankfully, ACSH fights back, but they need your help. Visit the website today, acsh.org.
During this time, perhaps more than ever, we're looking for things to binge watch, read, and listen to, because we're spending more time at home than ever before. So here at the MedVed Show, we want to extend a special offer to listeners right now who've not yet taken the leap to become a MedHead Premium subscriber. If you go to michaelmedved.com, click on the MedHead banner, and use the promo code SPRING40, you'll get $20 off an annual membership. In addition to that, for new members or existing MedHead members, we've discounted everything at the MedVed History Store by 50%.
Did you know precious metals have a solid history of outperforming the stock market during tough economic times? Chatting with my good friend Nick Grovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, he warned me there are severe shortages of gold, silver, and platinum right now. Now, many dealers have nothing to sell. So right now, AmFed is helping hundreds of people acquire bullion. They're open for business with some staff working from home, and they can lock you in precious metals at a very fair price. Nick has been in the industry for over 40 years. He knows the intricacies of every market condition, what to buy now, and what you should avoid. He's the only person, really, that I trust for solid advice and the one person you need to talk to about this situation. Call AmFed Coin and Bullion at 800-221-7694 or visit AmericanFederal.com. That's AmericanFederal.com or 800-221-7694.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Medhead number one here.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
Well, thank you very much. And we are here talking about the direction of the campaign. And one of the things that struck me as profoundly worth noting before we get into the Trump argument with Anthony Fauci, which is not particularly well timed, it seems to me, for the administration. He also walked back some of his harsher comments about Dr. Fauci just recently, and we'll get to that as well. But there are very profound differences between this campaign, obviously, and the 2016 campaign that President Trump won, surprising everybody. And one of the things that just strikes me, and I think it would strike anybody who's actually looking at the numbers, is I went back to take a look at the numbers in the polling in 2016, right before the election, because there are certain similarities. For instance, the national polls back in 2016 showed that Hillary Clinton had a 3-point advantage. And, okay, that 3-point advantage, actually, what happened was she had a 2-point advantage in the national popular vote. So it was pretty close. But one of the other things that was very different is in 2016, they had 9%. In other words, 1 out of 10 voters were undecided. Or they were thinking of voting third party. And that was in a poll taken 2 days before the election. And the average of polling showed that there were undecideds, undecideds, undecideds. One of the things that's striking about the polling this year is that there's almost no one who's undecided. In state after state, and certainly nationwide, the number of undecided people is very small. Most people know who they want to vote for. And it's in that context that I think that both candidates have to ask, what is going to move some of those few remaining undecided? Now, some of those undecided will vote third party, as they did last time. And some of them probably can be moved. But the difficulty for President Trump this time, in an average of national polls, this is taken from 270 to win, October 20th, 2020, today, the average of national polls, Biden is ahead by 8 points, according to that survey, not the 3 points that Hillary was ahead, and there are a total of 6% who are thinking of third party or undecided. So what that indicates is that even if President Trump won every single one of those undecideds or every single one of those third party people, if he won all of them, it wouldn't be enough. He has to actually shake loose some Biden voters. And that's one of the reasons it seems pretty obvious to me that he and the campaign are going after the Hunter Biden email story with the hope that that is going to shake the intention of some people who are thinking they're voting for Biden, that they will say, oh, this is corrupt. And by the way, with those topics that Kristen Welker has announced, President Trump will be able to bring that up almost any time he wants. In other words, when the topics include things like national security and families, I mean, you can jump right into American families. Race in America doesn't really fit climate change. But under leadership, national security, or American families, President Trump should have the ability to bring up anything he wants about Hunter Biden. And do I think he would do that? I think if Kristen Welker doesn't look like she's going to ask it and the debate is running along, I'm sure he will. The story on front page of the New York Times, and it doesn't really work that well, it seems to me, for America, but let alone for one campaign or another. But it says, President Trump attacked Dr. Anthony S. Fauci as a disaster yesterday and said, despite signs that the nation was headed toward another coronavirus peak, that people were tired of hearing about the virus from, quote, these idiots in the government. The broadside, during a conference call with campaign staff just 2 weeks before Election Day, was hardly the closing message Trump advisors were looking for. And the idea that it was for campaign staff, they invited reporters. It's not that somebody leaked the conversation or that President Trump didn't know there were reporters there. There were reporters there, and some of it was on tape. For instance, we have a little bit of that commentary that is right there in a clip from this conversation.
People are tired of hearing Fauci and all these idiots, these people that have gotten it wrong. Every time he goes on television, there's always a bomb, but there's a bigger bomb if you fire him. But Fauci's a disaster. I mean, this guy's, if I listened to him, we'd have 500,000 deaths.
Okay, and he also says he's been there for 500 years. He served six presidents. The problem with this right now is that when it's hitting the front page that President Trump is attacking Dr. Fauci, it's bringing the focus back to the coronavirus. Gerald Seib in the Wall Street Journal today, I think, makes a very, very good point, which is that usually when people are asked, okay, what's the most important issue, they say the economy. And President Trump has a clear advantage on the economy. Gerald Seib brings up that there have been five different Wall Street Journal polls where they've asked people, who do you trust more to handle the economy, Trump or Biden? And in all five, President Trump has a clear advantage. And when we are talking to Lanny Chen of the Hoover Institution about the some of the Biden tax plans and some of the plans for a public option in medical care, you'll see why. There are all kinds of risks to some of the increased spending and increased taxes that Biden and Harris are talking about. The idea about refocusing on the coronavirus dispute is not a great idea, even though President Trump getting off the plane after his talk in Arizona, which we covered live on our show yesterday, and tried to walk back a little bit of that commentary about Dr. Fauci. We will get to that coming up on the Medved Show. First, we're going to talk about some calculations that have been done about the impact of the economy on Bidenomics. They've been done in the Wall Street Journal in both an editorial and in an op-ed column by Lanhee Chen of the Hoover Institution. And for anybody who cares about American prosperity, which is every single American, it should get your attention. We will be right back with that on the Medved Show.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Big tech should have to explain itself. That's what Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley is saying about wanting the CEOs of Facebook and Twitter to testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee over their company's censoring of a New York Post article on Hunter Biden's business deals. He tells Fox News that their actions jeopardize the First Amendment.
When the Post puts out this story about Hunter Biden and Twitter and Facebook won't take it, just think of the number of people in the United States, millions and millions of people that are denying their source of news.
Researchers in the UK are set to begin a controversial experiment they hope will speed up development of a coronavirus vaccine. Imperial College London says it will infect healthy volunteers with the virus in order to study treatments for the disease. Researchers say that while the study is risky, they hope they'll be able to get data they can use to craft a vaccine faster than in a normal study. This is USA Radio News.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
My name is Brian, and I'm 80 years of age. Recently, I was dealing with symptoms of a COVID infection. Initially, I had a fever with chills and a sore throat. Within a short time, the fever subsided, and the sore throat improved, but still lingered. I used several different supplements without success. I then tried Green Meadow Whey, and immediately my sore throat went away. I feel that Green Meadow Whey helped me defeat this COVID infection, and it gives me a noticeable lift in my energy.
Lactoferrin is a naturally occurring nutrient in whey protein. It has been shown to have potent antiviral activity. Lactoferrin binds to a virus, blocking its ability to enter the cell. It also stimulates antiviral interferon production. Green Meadow Whey contains 300 to 600 milligrams of non-denatured lactoferrin per scoop. To order, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or go to greenmeadowwhey.com.
Michael Medved Show, the problem of focus is a big challenge for the Trump campaign, because for people looking at this from the outside and from people looking at it from the inside in terms of his campaign advisors, it really is and should be a repeat of the election of 1992. Where Bill Clinton, James Carville had this big sign, the economy stupid, that every time they weren't talking about the economy, they were wasting time. And certainly President Trump does not want to talk about the COVID-19. He doesn't want to talk about the coronavirus. He doesn't want to talk about herd immunity. He doesn't want to talk about the mask debate. And Joe Biden emphatically does. Because one of the things that Joe Biden is talking about, his main theme in the campaign, and it's been that from the beginning, and even people who don't like Joe Biden and fear him as president and fear that he will end up being controlled by Kamala Harris and by others, those people acknowledge that from the beginning of this campaign, his focus has been pretty tight. It has been not on the coronavirus, because the coronavirus wasn't a factor when he announced his candidacy in the middle of 2019. But it has been on this idea of bringing the country together and national unity. And President Trump doesn't help himself in responding to that when he's making war on one of his own top advisors that most people in the public seem to like. Now, one of the difficulties for Dr. Fauci, and one of the reasons there's a problem, is because he has been demonized by some right-wing media because the president has been very critical of him. President said in this conference call, people are tired of COVID. I have the biggest rallies I've ever had, and we have COVID. People are saying, whatever, just leave us alone. They're tired of it. He said, people are tired of hearing Fauci and these idiots, all these idiots who got it all wrong. Lan He Chen never got it wrong. Dr. Chen is a fellow in American Public Policies at the Hoover Institution, and he's also director of domestic policy studies and a lecturer at Stanford University. Lan He, I'm pleased you can join us, and congratulations on the fine column today in the Wall Street Journal.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Michael, very much.
Thank you. What is it that people need to know about Joe Biden's, what they need to know most and keep in mind about Joe Biden's proposal for establishing a public option to supplement Obamacare?
Well, I think the argument that a lot of folks, including Biden, have used to support a public option is, look, they say it's a relatively riskless, it's a relatively easy way to expand coverage by just giving people a choice between a government-run plan and private plans. Now, the argument goes the more competition, the better. And what we find is that a public option is not like an ordinary health insurance plan. It's a government-run plan that, by definition, will be subsidized by taxpayers. And it's a program, as with all other government programs, that becomes more and more expensive over time. And the column in today's Wall Street Journal is merely meant to indicate, kind of as the plan becomes ever more expensive, it's going to mean ever more in taxes to finance the program. And if we don't pay for it with taxes, we're looking at crushing debt burdens going forward. So it's really meant to give people an illustration of just how significant these tax increases are going to have to be to pay for something that a lot of people think sounds very good and sounds very moderate.
Okay, but one of the things that you bring up in your column, and good for you for being candid with people about it, people don't like to hear about this at all. We have triple the deficit this year, this last fiscal year, which just concluded September 30th. It's triple the deficit we had the year before. We are in extremely dangerous territory where we have now national debt that is 100% or on the verge of 100% of our gross domestic product. Even if Biden doesn't get elected, even if we don't have a public option, we still got some gigantic problems paying our bills, don't we?
There's no question, Michael. And some of that has, in fact, a lot of that's been driven by the post-pandemic spending and the desire to help people through this pandemic period. But, you know, there's some very sobering statistics that we get from the Congressional Budget Office, which is the part of the government that tends to estimate these things. And what they've told us is that the federal debt has risen above 100% of the size of our economy, 100% of our GDP, 10 years sooner than we expected. And debt is now expected to reach almost 200% of our economy by 2050. And you know, the problem with a large amount of debt is it means less economic opportunity, less growth, fewer jobs for future generations. In fact, you know, the estimates are the economy is going to be about 5% smaller in 2050 than it would have been if we'd acted to reduce debt more quickly. So this is not just a theoretical conversation, Michael. This is a conversation about actual opportunities and actual jobs, maybe not for folks today, but certainly for our kids and grandkids.
Oh, that's what I think is so important about your column in the Wall Street Journal today. I'm speaking to Dr. Lan He Chen of the Hoover Institution. Is, let's say that President Trump is reelected. What would you advise him to do? And who knows, you might be on tap for a future position as a White House advisor. What should President Trump do to bring the deficit down from the dangerous territory we have? Should it be raising taxes somehow, or simply really radical cuts of spending? And if so, where?
Well, I think, first of all, we do need to make some pretty significant and basic changes to some of these federal entitlement programs. I mean, that is what ultimately is driving a lot of this debt and spending going forward. And, you know, we can do it in a sensible way, by the way, Michael. We can change, for example, Medicare, not for current seniors, not for people who are even close to getting Medicare, but for folks in their 20s and 30s and 40s there can be a different program that is more modern that also ensures that we are taking a more responsible look at how to provide these health care benefits that people rely on. Same can be said for Social Security. I think it's quite maddening, for example, that we don't have a Social Security payout that is proportionate to how, for example, one has done in terms of income over the course of one's life. Somebody who has done very well, who's made millions of dollars a year, their benefit should probably be less generous over time than somebody who has done less well and needs more of that money in retirement. These are the kinds of basic changes, and I know they're not politically popular. I know that there's a lot of politicians who don't want to do anything, and by the way, President Trump hasn't exactly been on the forefront of advocating for change in this area either. But I would advise him that I think if he gets reelected, part of his legacy is going to depend on the ability to get some of this spending under control so we can finally start to live within our means a little bit, because it will make a difference down the road. It will make a difference to the future.
Lanhee Chen is a fellow at Hoover Institution and a lecturer in public policy at Stanford University. And Lanhee was one of the top policy advisors, I believe the top policy advisor to Mitt Romney in his presidential campaign of 2012. Very much appreciate your participation. And again, people are talking about the topics that were chosen by Kristen Welker for the debate Wednesday night. I noticed that she doesn't want to talk about the deficit or the debt. I assume that doesn't surprise. Yeah, it is unfortunate because this is kind of, it's not the elephant in the room, it's the brontosaurus in the room, because it's much bigger than an elephant and it could have great impact on the way that all Americans live and plan. So what else in the run-up to the debate? How about the Democratic freakout about Amy Coney Barrett? We'll get to that and more on The MedVet Show. These are...
Friends, have you had a chance to visit our partners at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College? Faithandfreedom.com. They're the leading forum and think tank in the nation for the study and application of faith and freedom. In fact, Michael Medved visits Grove City College every year to be a part of their annual conference. He's spoken on a vast array of topics to hundreds of people at that conference. In fact, as you may know, he broadcasts this very show from their campus every year when he's there. It's always such an amazing time. Unfortunately, this year's conference was postponed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But we here at The MedVed Show encourage you to visit their website. They have all their past conferences available. You can watch Medved's talk along with many other engaging talks. Dr. Paul Kangor, Jonah Goldberg, Rick Santorum, Ryan Anderson, Robbie George, and many, many more. Visit them today at faithandfreedom.com to see the wonderful lectures from some of the brightest minds in America. Faithandfreedom.com. That's faithandfreedom.com.
I love good movies, like a romantic comedy called About Time from 7 years ago. It's a great movie about romance and about family, really, and father and son relations, much more. Problem with it is there's a little bit of content you may not want to share with your children. That's where Clear Play comes in. When you purchase or rent movies from Amazon.com, particularly right now during this time of pandemic, Clear Play can set you up to watch the movies you want to see without violence, without profanity, or without other content that you would choose to remove. You make the settings up yourself. It's truly ingenious. Go to clearplay.com to learn more, and you can enjoy About Time with Margot Robbie, Rachel McAdams, and more. Check it out at clearplay.com, because Clear Play loves good movies.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Big debate taking shape. No, I'm not talking about the debate between Biden and Trump. I'm talking about the debate between Trump and Fauci. At his rally yesterday in Prescott, Arizona, a lot of which we covered live on this show, the president said Biden wants to lock it down. He wants to listen to Dr. Fauci. And Dr. Fauci addressed a group of pathologists last week, and he said, quote, nobody wants to shut down the country again. And last week, Fauci complained because Trump, who has now gotten to fairly hostile territory, grudge match time with Dr. Fauci, Trump actually used a clip of Fauci in one of his ads. And it was a clip where Fauci was talking about everything that's been done. Fauci says he was not talking about President Trump. And when you listen to the clip in context, he never mentions Trump's name. He talks about everything we've done in the government to fight COVID-19. Okay, if Fauci is such a jerk, as Trump says, why is he using him in the ad? Fauci said publicly that his was quoted completely out of context and without his permission in a campaign ad. And he's always tried to avoid politics. He's worked for six different presidents, and he's never gotten involved with partisan politics. President Trump tweeted, Dr. Tony Fauci says we don't allow him to do television, and yet I see him last night on 60 Minutes, and he seems to get more airtime than anybody since the late, great Bob Hope, the president said on Twitter. You know, there are probably a lot of Americans who don't even remember Bob Hope right now or know who he was. He's a big comedian. from the 1930s through the 1980s, I guess. Then the president, harking back to Dr. Fauci's pitch during opening day of baseball season here, he was wearing a Nationals jersey. He's a big Nationals fan. He's lived in Washington forever. And he says, P.S., Tony should stop wearing the Washington Nationals mask for two reasons. Number one, it's not up to the high standards that he should be exposing. Number two, it keeps reminding me that Tony threw out perhaps the worst first pitch in the history of baseball. And no, he did not throw a strike or anywhere close to a strike. He's 79 years old. President Trump coming, standing in front of his plane, shortly after he had described Fauci is an idiot and a disaster, wanted to take it back a little bit. And that sounded, clip 13, like this.
No, I think really Dr. Fauci's a very nice man, but we let him do what he wants to do. He gets a lot of television. He loves being on television, and we let him do it. Sometimes he says things that are a little bit off, and they get built up, unfortunately. But he's a nice guy. I like him. But he's called a lot of bad calls. He said, don't wear a mask. And he said, don't ban China. They were bad calls. He admits that. And I don't hold that against him. If I did, I wouldn't have him. No, I think he's a nice guy. Huh? I don't want to. I don't want to hurt him. He's been there for about 350 years. I don't want to hurt him.
Okay, when he spoke a little while longer later at the, he said 500 years. And it's, actually, he's been there since the Reagan administration, is the truth. The difficulty is all of this has consequences, real-world consequences for Dr. Fauci. And he had this to say in his 60 Minutes interview. This is clip 14, about what the consequences have been to just withstand the regular barrage of criticism from the president who he works for. Listen.
Once an avid runner, at 79, Dr. Fauci now power walks, flanked by federal agents.
What's that all about?
That's sad. The very fact that a public health message to save lives triggers such venom and animosity to me that it results in real and credible threats to my life and my safety, but it bothers me less than the hassling of my wife and my children.
They've been threatened?
Yeah. I mean, like, give me a break.
Have there been death threats against you and your family?
Yeah.
All of you, your daughter?
No, just me, but harassment against the rest of the family.
Okay, the New York Times reports, since Dr. Fauci emerged as a villain of the political right, he's been assigned a federal security detail. He and his wife, Christine Grady, who's a bioethicist at the National Institutes of Health, have been threatened by email, phone, and text message. They've even been heckled on the street on their nightly walks, though Dr. Fauci is also sometimes stopped by admirers who thank him and ask to take selfies. Their daughters have also been harassed. And again, this is a shame. And this honestly has to stop. And I think what President Trump needs to do in the debate is to somehow convey that there won't be this continuation of fights over meaningless stuff. I, honest to God, do not understand why people are indignant about masks. If you don't wear a mask, fine, don't wear a mask. But for people to protest stores that want to protect themselves and their staff and their customers by asking people to wear masks, that's so terrible. Okay, use another store that may be less energetic about asking people to wear masks. But the idea that this is somehow a substantive issue that we should be focused on, I honestly don't believe this is a winning issue for anybody. It's a destructive issue for our country. Another destructive issue is continuing to protest the Amy Coney Barrett nomination. There is a new poll that came out, Gallup poll, that was released today. It finds that 51% say yes, they want to see Judge Barrett confirmed taking her seat on the Supreme Court. But it also showed that 46% of adults oppose Barrett's confirmation. Only 3% do not have an opinion on her filling the seat left vacant by the death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Now, weeks ago when this process started, right after Justice Ginsburg's death, the Democrats were saying, oh, no, the public doesn't want us to rush. Well, now the public does. And apparently it is likely that she will be confirmed with a special vote that may occur this weekend. Yeah, coming up this Sunday. They may do a rare Sunday session in the Senate. The votes are there. And the idea that people are so indignant about this. Lindsey Graham was confronted in the D.C. airport yesterday. This is clip three, by two crazy female progressives, one from Seattle, by the way. Listen to what it sounded like.
Look me in the eye.
I'm from Seattle, Washington, and I know I'm here to talk to you. I'm not here to talk to anybody. I'm from Seattle. It doesn't matter where she's from. She's an American. Well, I'm in Seattle because it's a good example of how things are getting out of control. Where are you from? I pay your salary, sir. Where are you from? It doesn't matter where I'm from. I'm from the United States of America, sir. Where are you from? You sure are.
And you're going to make my children, my daughter, who sit on the shoulders of giants, you're going to take her rights away by voting for this woman who's a racist?
Well, I'm enthusiastically going to support Judge Barrett.
Why?
Because she's highly qualified.
Okay, Judge Barrett is a racist with her two black children? What's wrong with people? What's wrong with our country right now? I mean, honestly, really, you know, Lindsey Graham, the fact that as hard as he works and as articulate as he has been and how courageous he's been on a lot of stuff, he got a lot of grief because he voted for Sotomayor and Kagan because he thought they were qualified to be on the court. And they have not been outrageously radical justices, either of them. And the idea that the Democrats interrupt Lindsey Graham at the airport to, he tweeted Lindsey Graham, I arrived in D.C. today and was confronted by two women, one of whom was from Seattle, who called Judge Amy Coney Barrett a racist and unqualified. This is the modern left, hostile and unhinged. I won't be intimidated. I can't wait to hashtag fill the seat. Stand with me. We do, Senator Graham. And again, we'll take a little bitty step towards sanity and wholeness when Judge Barrett is confirmed as an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of this greatest nation on God's green earth.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from The Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe.
If you're looking to try to turn back the clock on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.